I love that variety, don't you? The Lord has blessed this church with the talent that we can have saxophones playing or voices going or pianos going, sometimes guitars. If it's not me, then the talent is there. Well, is he the King of the Jews? Is he the King of you? As you know, we've been in this message series that started Good Friday, and those first two messages we looked at, is he the King of the Jews? In other words, is he who he claimed to be? Is he the Messianic King that was prophesied about, that was to come? God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, our wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Was Jesus him? Is he the King of the Jews? Well, we saw clearly by his death 1 week and then his resurrection the next week, we saw, yes, he is the King of the Jews. And now we want to look at, well, if he's the King of the Jews, is he the King of you? Let's look at that this morning and next Sunday morning. Is he the King of you? Well, now we looked at Jesus' death and his resurrection. Now, this morning, let's look at your death. Let's look at your death. Well, first of all, is he the King of you? Well, what is a king? We know that a king rules and reigns and has authority and makes the decisions and calls the shots. That's what a king is. Let me pray before we go any further. Father, we just ask that you would help us, Lord, that you'd help us to hear your word. Lord, we ask that you'd get me out of the way, that you would speak through me, that we would hear your voice, Lord. Speak to each of our hearts, Lord. Tell us what we need to hear. Let us receive it. Make our hearts receptive to what you want to tell us. And then, Lord, may we respond. May we do whatever you command us during this time. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a king rules and reigns, has authority, makes decisions, calls the shots. That's what a king is. Well, each of us has a king. In your life, in my life, in every single one of our lives, there is a king ruling. There is somebody in your life or something in your life that fits that description, that is ruling and reigning over you and has authority and makes the decisions and calls the shots. Now for you, that king might be you, might be yourself. You might be the king of you. That could be the case. If you're young, it might be your parents. You may feel that your parents are the king over you, ruling over you and reigning over you, making decisions, calling the shots. In the work environment, you may believe it's your boss. You do well to believe it's your boss in that environment. And sometimes we don't like this. Sometimes we don't like someone or something ruling and reigning over us and telling us what to do and calling the shots and making the decisions. Sometimes we rebel against it. Sometimes we don't like it, depending on who that king is. I often hear children say, I bet you've heard this statement before, "You're not the boss of me." You ever heard that? I'm like, I heard it last week, maybe a couple of weeks ago. "You're not the boss of me." What's that person saying? That person's saying, "I don't want you to be king over me. I am resisting. I'm rebelling against your kingship over me. You're not the boss of me." Sometimes that's our attitude toward the king over us. Now, sometimes we can love it. Sometimes we have a king over us and we love it. We want it. And the thing is, oftentimes it's if we trust the king or not. The king ruling and reigning over us. Sometimes we love it if we know we can trust the king over us. Or if we even go further and love the king that's over us. Sometimes if we love and trust the king over us, it's a good thing and we want it. And we seek it out. I've had the experience of, as a student minister before and youth minister doing trust falls before. Some of you have probably done this before or seen it done. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about, but the first youth camp, I think it was about the first one I ever went to and took a youth group to through Cloverdale Baptist Church here in Montgomery, was Centrifuge. And we went down to Panama City Beach and had a Christian camp there. It was a wonderful time with those youth. And one thing we did was all of our youth came in, and we were with some other churches too, and we all got together. And we didn't just do a normal trust fall. We got each of the students up on this stage. It was like a platform. I don't remember how high it was, but each student got up there one at a time. And then the whole group of the rest of us were down here, just kind of in a circle, all holding hands, making kind of a little bridge with our arms. And that person was supposed to stand up there on that stage, and just when they were ready, just fall back. Fall off that stage. And every time it happened, everybody was fine. They were caught by those arms of those people. But that required trust to do that. And apparently, whoever would fall off that stage, they would trust the king, so to speak, that was responsible for their life or injury or possible death. They trusted him. And there was probably love there too. They probably knew all these kids loved each other. They were going to catch them. And so that was a good thing. Is he, Jesus Christ, the king of you? Well, the truth of the matter is, no matter what your answer is, the truth of the matter is, he is. Whether you like it or not, or welcome it, or resist it, or however you feel about it, does not matter. The truth of the matter is, he is king over you. He created you. All things were made through him, by him, and for him. Speaking of Jesus Christ, he created you. He loves you. And he is your king. He is the king of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is your king. And whether you acknowledge it or resist it or rebel against it or choose to say, you know, I don't even believe in him. He doesn't even exist. God doesn't even exist. Even if you say that, it doesn't make a bit of difference, because one day, at the end of all time, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. And so you can either choose it here on this side of death. You can choose it here and say, yes, I want you to be my king. I want you to rule and reign over me. Or you can resist all your life, and one day you will still bow your knees before him and you will say, you are king. Jesus Christ, you are king over me. Because the simple truth of the matter is that he is king over you. Now, this morning we want to look at, you may want to be in that camp of, I want him to be king over me. That might be you this morning. That might be the desire of your heart. That might be the desire that's coming into your heart. Maybe you look at your life right now and you say, well, you know, he hasn't been my king. No, you know, I've really been my king. I'm really the one calling the shots and ruling my life and doing what I want to do. That's me right now. But maybe you're one sitting here this morning that wants to move into that camp. Maybe you're one this morning that wants to move in that direction of, I want you to be king over me. I want you to be Lord over me. Well, what must you do? You must die. Is he the king of you? Well, if he is, then you have died to self, in a sense. If you're allowing him to rule and reign over you and call the shots, then you've set yourself aside. You've died to self, so to speak. And you're following him now. You're living for him. You're letting him rule and reign over you. You've moved from self rule and reign to throw that aside and to Him, I want you, Jesus. And so you have died to self. And so for Him to rule and reign over you, for Him to be king over you, you must die. You must die. You must surrender. You must say, I'm yours. I am thine. As Chris led us in that hymn. And so that's the question for you this morning. Have you died? What about you? Have you died? You know, the atheist or the skeptic or the agnostic or maybe somebody here today feels that way. Maybe you know somebody that feels that way. Maybe somebody listening over the internet feels that way. Well, the atheist and the skeptic don't believe. And perhaps if you really look into your heart, if that is you, and you say, I don't even believe in Him, it doesn't matter. If that is you, perhaps if you really look into your heart and you really search, you will find that you don't believe because you don't want to have to deal with an authority over you. Perhaps the reason you're saying you don't believe is because if you believe, you know that you'll have to submit. You'll have to surrender. And you don't want that. You want to call the shots yourself. You want to live on your own. But it doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter whether you believe that God exists or who He is. Whatever you believe or don't believe about Him, it doesn't matter. Truth is truth is truth is truth. And your belief doesn't change it one iota. And you really need to search your heart and find out, is it an authority issue? Is that what I'm dealing with? Is it just an authority issue? Because if you don't believe, God tells us that you've become foolish. God says in Proverbs that the fool says in his heart, there is no God. You don't want to live like that. That is to be pitied. And so, have you died? Turn with me to Galatians chapter 2. Let's look at verses 19 to 21. Have you died? And if you're new at this, the last third of your Bible is that New Testament. You've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you'll see Romans and Acts and the Corinthian books. And then you'll see Galatians. Galatians, Ephesians, General Electric Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Galatians chapter 2. Look at verses 19 to 21. Now here in this passage of Scripture, Paul is rebuking Peter. Peter has not been obeying the gospel. He has not been abiding by the way of the gospel here. And Paul is rebuking Peter. And in his rebuke, we want to just look at a few of the things that he says in verses 19 to 21. And then apply it to ourselves and say, have you died? Have you died? Let's look at it. Galatians 2, 19 to 21. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Is He the King of you? Well, have you died? That's the question. Have you died? First of all, we notice in verse 19, have you died to the law? You need to answer that question for yourself. Have I died to the law? Have you died to the law? We see that in 19. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. You know, there may have been a time that you were living for the law. There may have been a time that you were trying to do the right thing, trying to obey, find out, well, what does God want? What are His laws? What are His commands? And that you were living your life just trying to obey His laws, trying to obey God's rules the best you can. There may have been a time that that's how you were living, focused on what are His laws, what are His rules, how can I obey them the best that I can, how can I obey in the best possible way, trying to do right, obeying, and then in the hopes that if you did good enough, you would be deemed righteous. God would say, good job, that you would earn some type of righteousness, or you would gain His approval. He would say, all right, I'm proud of you. You've been obeying all of my laws. That you would be justified. That's to be made right in God's sight. That when He looked at you, He'd say, you have been made right because you have been obeying. You've been trying so hard to follow all my laws. You have gained some righteousness. And that was your hope. That you could find out what He wants, obey it the best you could, and maybe He would say, okay, you're righteous enough, you're doing good. But you see, now you understand the truth, that that's not it. That that's not the way. Maybe now you're like what the Apostle Paul says here, and maybe now you have said, you know, I've died to the law. I've died to the law. I'm no longer under the law. It no longer has authority. I'm no longer under the law. Now I'm under grace. Now I'm under grace. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. I died to the law. I'm no longer under the law. Now I'm under grace. God's grace. Back up just a few verses. It might make it a little more clear to you. As you read in verse 15, we who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. Does that clear it up a little bit? He's saying, if you are living by the law and trying to obey the law, you will not be justified. Nobody can be justified or made right in God's sight by that. How are you made right in God's sight? By faith in Jesus Christ. That's how you're made right in God's sight. Not by your obedience, but by faith in Jesus Christ. You see, anybody who's trying to live by obeying God's laws and the rules and doing the best they can, Galatians tells us in another place that they must obey the whole law. If you're going to go ahead and try it that way, you got to obey the whole law. Every single one of God's commands. And that anybody that tries to do this is cursed. You'll find that it's a curse. Because the more and more you try, you'll realize the more and more you'll fail because no one can do it. You see, what the law does is it shows us how sinful we are. The more and more you try to obey the Ten Commandments and obey God, the more it reveals your sin. The more you try, and the more you focus on obedience and God's laws, it just shows you how sinful you are, because you can't do it. You can't live up to it. And that's a good thing, because then when you see how sinful you are, then you start looking for a Savior. When you see how much you fall short, you start saying, oh, dear Jesus, please help me. I can't be good enough. I can't obey you good enough. Please help me. Can somebody help me? Can somebody save me? Oh, Jesus, you can. Thank you. I turn to you, Jesus. I put my faith in you. And then you got it. So it's a good thing when you're focused on the law and it drives you to Christ. It drives you to a Savior. And that's what the law does. Now, am I antinomian? Am I against the law? No, I'm not preaching it. I'm preaching that God, that is God's standard, that is His law, but that's not to be your focus as a Christian. Faith in Christ. We live by faith, not under the law and focused on the law. So have you died to the law? Have you stopped trying to live obeying God's rules and laws? And have you started trying to live by faith in Jesus? Just focused on Him. Not on a bunch of rules, but focused on Jesus. Just living for Him. Secondly, you can ask yourself, have I died to self? Have I died to self? We see that in verse 20. For I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Have you died to self? You see, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. And that word in the Greek, the deny yourself, that means to cease to exist. In other words, Derek Allen Frost, that's me. You don't even exist anymore. You're gone. Just cease to exist. That's what Jesus is calling you to do and me. If you want to be his follower, if you want to be his disciple. He said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. You must cease to exist and take up his cross. That's more death. Death to self. And then once you've died to self, you're not even existing anymore. You are dead to self. You are dead and gone. Then come and follow me. And then you just focus on Jesus. And you're no longer focused on self. Self doesn't even exist anymore. You're just focused on Jesus. You're just following Him. This is what Jesus meant in Matthew 10:39, when he said, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. When you lose your life, you'll truly find it. When you die to self and you just follow him, that's when you'll find true life. That's when you'll find abundant life. So have you died to self? Is he the king of you? In other words, you've surrendered. You've died to your desires. This was one of my biggest struggles up until the time I was 23 years old. You know, I could tell anybody, yeah, Jesus is my Lord. Yeah, Jesus is Lord. I would say that up until I was 23. But, you know, I was drinking like a fish and getting in a lot of trouble with that. And that was really messing up my life. And the alcohol and then a lot of other things that I was doing was really sinful and partying and all kinds of other things. And all these other things were ruling my life. I would tell you, Jesus is Lord. He's my Lord. But it wasn't the truth, because my alcohol was ahead of him. My party life was ahead of him. My relationships were ahead of him. All kinds of things were ahead of him. But he finally had to bring me to this point where I could hear his voice through Christian radio, and I could hear him saying, Derek, are you willing to put me first in your life above everything? And he got me to that point of surrender where I said, okay, God, I'm tired of messing around. I just want to give you my life. I'm yours. And when that happened, that's when he began to change all these other things. Is he the king of you? And that's not only that wasn't a decision when I was 23. That's a daily decision. Jesus said, if anybody would come after me, he must deny himself and he must deny himself daily and take up his cross and follow me daily. It's a daily decision. Are you living for him? Are you no longer living for yourself, but for him who died for you? You see, there should be no more I's in the Christian life. There should be no more, well, what I should do, what I need to do. You see, that's a focus on me, me, me. What I need to do, my focus is on who? I, me. That shouldn't be what it is. You see, there's no more I's with the Christian life. You see, that's a focus on me. The focus should be on Him. should be on Jesus. What do you want, Lord? What do you desire? That's how I should live. John 5, and Jesus, you see, Jesus just did what the Father wanted him to do. He didn't pay attention to himself. He paid attention to the Father. He said, I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son also does. And the Father loves the Son and shows him all he is doing. Well, we relate to Jesus like Jesus related to the Father. So for us, it should be, I tell you the truth, I don't do anything else by myself. I do only what I see my Jesus doing. For whatever my Jesus does, I also do. For my Jesus loves me and shows me all he is doing. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. Have you ceased to exist? Just focus on him and his desires. It's all about Jesus. That needs to be your prayer. Lord Jesus, it's all about you, not me. And then you can continually give him thanks. Because it's not your life anymore, it's his. You can just thank him for everything that comes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for doing this in your life. Well, finally, have you died to... Now, this may be a word that I've invented, but have you died to gracelessness? The absence of grace. Have you died to gracelessness? You see that in verse 21. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Have you died to gracelessness? Don't set aside the grace of God. It's such an amazing, wonderful thing. We can't even comprehend God's grace. The best definition I can think of is grace. God's grace is His free, unearned. You don't earn it. Undeserved. You don't deserve it. It's His absolutely free, unearned, undeserved favor, love, and mercy that He just pours on you continuously like a waterfall. It just never stops. Grace. I like the acrostic for grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is getting everything God wants to offer you, everything He has to offer you, all of His riches. And you don't even pay for it. You earn death and hell. That's what you earned. That's what I earned. By our sins. That's what we deserve. That's what we've earned. But grace is getting all God's riches. Everything that He wants to give you and has for you at Christ's expense. Somebody had to pay for it. Somebody had to pay a horrible, awful, incredible price with His life, with His blood, with His torture, His agony, the wrath of God, His suffering. He paid a great price, but it's God's riches at Christ's expense given to you. That's what grace is. Grace is amazing. It's too good to be true. I've heard Steve Brown say before, you know, some Bible teachers are really focused on the teaching of grace. And I've heard him say before that, you know, sometimes you get so wrapped up in grace and how amazing it is. And I heard him say before, sometimes this will happen to Bible teachers that are teaching on grace. They'll kind of look at each other and go, could we really be right? Is it this good? This is amazing. And that's true. That's grace. That's God's grace for you. It's like the elephant and the flea. It's like the flea that wanted to get across this great chasm in India, and there was a swaying bridge, and the flea needed to get from one mountaintop to the other mountaintop, and he thought, how in the world am I going to do this? And sure enough, he saw an elephant coming by there in India, and so he jumped on the back of that elephant, and that elephant got on that bridge, and that bridge began to sway and sway and sway, and sure enough, that elephant made it all the way across, and that flea jumped off, and he said, look what I did! I did it! Well, that's grace. That flea didn't do a thing. He just got on the back of the elephant. That's grace. That's God's gift to you. You think you can get yourself to heaven? You think you can do anything? Anything at all to get yourself to heaven? Make God happy with you? No, you're like a flea. You can't do a thing. But Jesus Christ is, he can do a lot. He did a lot on the cross and in his resurrection. He did a lot of work. You can just jump on his back. You can just say, Jesus, will you get me to heaven one day? I need you. I can't get there. I can't do anything. That's grace. Now, if you're not careful, you could set it aside and not think about it that much. Lose sight of the wonder of grace. You could just start living the Christian life. Just set it aside and start, well, I'll be the best Christian I can. I'll start trying and trying and trying, and I'll try to gain righteousness, and I'll try to please God, and I'll try to obey the laws, and it's really what it boils down to. It's all my own human effort. Yeah, you can do that and set aside God's grace. But why would you do that? We need to no longer live by sight. That's what that is. That's living by sight. We need to live by faith. Accepting God's grace. And I love this last statement in this passage that we've read. You see, if it's even possible to be righteous, to be righteous enough to please God, if that's even possible for any human being to be righteous enough to please God, to make God happy at all, then Christ died for nothing. Do you see it? Do you see how important that is? Do you see the truth in that? If it's even possible to be righteous enough to please God one iota, then Christ died for nothing. The whole reason He died was to make you right with God. So you'd put your faith in Him. You'd get on His back. Let Him make you righteous. And so we need to not only not set aside this grace, we need to proclaim this grace. And so let me end with this. Is He the King of you? Well, have you died to the law? To self? To gracelessness? Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for what You've done, Lord. And Lord, if there is anybody here today, maybe there's somebody here today that, Lord, they're saying, well, Lord, You haven't been the King of me. I've been in charge of my own life. But Lord, thank You for Your wake-up call today. Lord, maybe there's somebody that's saying, I want You to be King of me, Jesus. I want You to be King of me. Maybe there's somebody that needs to pray this right now along with me. Lord, I admit that I have sinned against You. I know I am a sinner. I thank You that You did everything necessary, all the work to save me from my sins. I thank You that I can contribute nothing. I can't bring anything to this, but I thank You that You went to the cross and You died for my sins and You took my punishment. And You paid it in full, and that You're raised from the dead. And I believe in You, Jesus, that You're God in the flesh, and You did that for me. And so right now, I call on You, Jesus. I ask You to save me. Please come into my life, Lord Jesus. I want to do what You led Derek to do that day, and I just want to say, Lord, I give You my life. I'm Yours. Rule and reign over me. Be my King. I give You my life. I want to follow You. Help me to be Your disciple, Your follower, Jesus. And Father, maybe there's somebody else that's saying, well, Lord, I just want to recommit my life. Lord, I believe I received You a long time ago, maybe years ago or some other time. And Lord, I believe I understood and I repented of my sins. I put my faith in You, Jesus. But Lord, I haven't let You be Lord of me. I have not let You be King. And I want to do that. Lord, I want to be Your follower in a new and a fresh way. And so I commit my life to You again, Jesus. I say, Lord, be King over me. Rule over me. Maybe that's You. Maybe there's somebody that says, well, Lord, I've believed. I'm letting You be King over me. That's my decision today. But I know any time in Scripture that people believe, then they get baptized. And I have not done it. Or I haven't done it in that order. I was baptized when I was a little infant. And I didn't believe yet. And so, Lord, I tell You today, I believe I'm Yours. And I want to be baptized. I want to do it the way all through the New Testament. believe and be baptized. And I want to let that be my shout to the whole world that I'm your follower now. Maybe that's you. Maybe you want to connect here that this is the church God is calling you to. Lord, help that person to pray. Lord Jesus, if you want me here, help me plug in with this group of believers. Help me to join them right now. And as the minister leads in this song, Lord, help me. Give me the strength to get up out of my seat and to walk down that aisle and say, this is what I need. Lord, I pray that whatever you've spoken to each person, they would hear your voice clearly and that they would respond. That they would come. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you're in one of those categories, every person Jesus ever asked to follow him, come, follow me. It's a public thing. Anytime the gospel went out, they would believe, and then they would make it public. They'd say, I'm a believer. I'm a follower of Jesus now. So if that's you, if you haven't done that before in a public setting, in a church setting like this, if you've never stood for Christ and said, I'm yours, Jesus, I want to be your follower. Now's the time to do it. When Chris leads us in the song, you stand up and you come down here and you tell me that. You say, I'm following Jesus now. I'm His. Whatever your decision, you make it as Chris leads us.